So this is Build a Better Business Mastermind. And we started in January talking about our VPS, our value proposition statement. And we think we have that all, you know, set in stone until we go through the whole series. And then we realize and we just had this conversation earlier today, that as you start, you will get more clarity. And so once you go through the program, then you start to think, oh, I need to go back and tweak my actual value proposition, what my promise is to my audience, what I'm delivering, what I'm about. And then, of course, in February, we start talking about our story. And once we have our story laid out, you know, on how we got to where we are today, you know, once upon a time, here's where I was, but then I discovered this, and now I want to help you discover it as well. And so once you have what you're delivering and how you're going to weave it through your story, now, how do you get people to notice you? How do you get people to say, okay, Kathy's got a message and Kathy has a story on how to share her message, but now who's she going to share her message with? How is she going to get it out there? And I talk about this in the third month, in the third step. Sherry says, I a class. And I think what she means is I am in a class. I think she left out a word there. So anyway, because I told her we were on and she sent back IA class. So I think she meant I am in a class. So I sent her an okay and a thumbs up. So anyhow, the reason this is in March and the third step on building a better business is I think you have to wrap your mind around serving is selling. And I think you have to do that early on, because you might think, well, this step should come after we create all of our offers, but you don't create your offers with a servant's heart if you don't have that mindset at the beginning. And that's why I put the serving is selling segment before we get into actually creating our website and our offers and what order we want to put them in and what prices we want to charge. And so here's what I want to say. When you think about serving is selling, you think, well, what does that actually mean? And a lot of people, they think they know what it means, but here is what I want to share with you. Not only are you going to serve your audience, but when you first start out, you don't have an audience. And so how do you serve your audience if you don't have one? So you can sit here all day long and go, well, as soon as I get an audience, I'll serve them. As soon as somebody taps into what my message is and my story that I've so carefully crafted, I will serve them, but you don't have anybody to serve. And so here's how you build an audience and use your serving as selling. Choose 5 influencers that are in your lane. Now, they don't have to be perfectly in your lane, but they have to be somewhat in your lane. In other words, their audience has to also be your audience. So you're looking for an influencer that would have the people that you would like to share your message with. Okay. So now I'm going to give you some examples. So when I was going to Carrie Oberbrunner's conferences, I met a ton of people there. Okay. And so I would come alongside him, and I can remember when he launched his book, I'm trying to think which one it was. I think it was Unhackable. When he launched that book, I arrived early to his big launch, and Mark and I are both, we arrived early, and we then said, what can we do? What, you know, give us a job. We're here to help. And Carrie was like, I really need somebody to kind of get people in the parking lot to know what door to come in, because he had his launch at a big church. Mark says, I can do that, you know, because Mark really wasn't into the business end of it. But Mark's like, I'm perfect with that. So Mark was out. And I remember he launched in a season where the parking lot was a little icy. And of course, you know, again, I had trained Mark in the salon industry all along, you know, to escort my little clients in the door, you know. And so Mark's out there helping escort everybody across the icy parking lot. And everybody was like, oh, you're so sweet. And oh, that man in the parking lot was so nice. And, you know, and so that's how Mark was serving. Well, I said, you know, I have an aptitude, you know, as much as I hated math in school, I actually ended up with an aptitude in math. I said, I have an aptitude. And he goes, well, I want you to run the bookstore. And all he had was this big table, and it had all of his books that he had previously published before he published Unhackable. And I said, sure, I can run the bookstore. Well, another one of the tribe, his tribe members, drove in from Pittsburgh, and she was staying with me at the bed and breakfast. So she went with us in our car. We drove. And so she and I, the two of us together, we decided to run the bookstore for Carrie. And I saw right off, you know, that folks, they were like, because this was a lot of his church friends. This was a lot of his acquaintances from every walk of life. It wasn't just the tribe members of Carrie's tribe coming to this book launch. And so a lot of them were like, well, we want to get a book or two, but we don't know which one or two to get. And because my teaching gene kicks in, and again, I've gone through his books, my secret name, Deeper Path, Day Job to Dream Job, and my secret name came out teacher. So my teacher gene kicked in. And so I was laying the books out on the table in the order that made sense to me. And I'm like, well, you know, you could do My Secret Name first. And then after that, you would do Deeper Path once you know your secret name. And then after that, you could then do My Day Job to Dream Job and how you take your secret name and what your opus is and turn it in to cash flowing. And so people were buying that as a three set. And so I finally then started putting it on the table in threes. And so Carrie came over later and he was like, what are you doing? And I thought he was upset at first. I said, why? What do you mean? What am I doing? He goes, you're selling more books than I've ever sold at an event like this. He goes, what in the heck are you doing? And all it was is and that's all selling is teaching on a one-on-one. I used to sell insurance. And people would walk away and say, I never understood it until I had an appointment with you. And what I was doing is I was just teaching them how it worked. And so when serving is selling, is it you're getting out of your head and into your heart and you're just connecting with those people. But find an influencer and serve the influencer. You know why? Because their audience is your audience. And so now a lot of those folks that I met at Carrie's conferences have now become clients of mine. And I didn't set out to make them clients. I just set out to serve Carrie. And here's what folks know. They want to do business with someone that they know, like, and trust. Everyone wants to do business with someone that they know, like, and trust. And so when you're there and you're authentically just serving, people can feel that and people can see that. And when they do, they say, well, you know, I don't know that I'm interested in everything Kathy's doing, but I know that if I have somebody that is struggling in any of those lanes, I know I'm going to send them over to Kathy because they've seen me in action. They've seen me serving. They've seen me in other situations. So I want everyone on this call to pick five influencers. Now, five is a lot, but pick five influencers that you want to serve. And then what's going to happen is you'll discover that you'll just click with one or two of those, and the other three will kind of take a back seat. Now, they're not going to fall off your list altogether. They'll just kind of take a back seat. It just isn't the season for those. But pick five to start with, and then you're going to narrow it down to one or two. Okay. So I'll give you another example. So I go online. And I see this gal named Wendy, and she's like, I'm going to be on Clubhouse. And of course, I knew instinctively that I wanted to understand what Clubhouse was about because it was a brand new, social media app. And I'm an early adapter when it comes to all of that stuff, because again, since I'm teaching Build a Better Business, I don't want somebody to show up and say, what is this? And for me to go, I have never heard of it. Now, I don't mind if that happens. I can always search it out, but I knew this was coming. I knew it was going to be big, and I wanted to kind of figure out on the ground level what it was all about. So I tapped in, and Ruth will remember this. I tapped in very early on Wendy's Clubhouse calls, and I faithfully showed up. And she says, Kathy, I've got to jump off the call for a minute. She said, can you be a moderator for me? And I started doing that. Well, then Ruth came on board, and then Ruth started being a moderator for her. Next thing you know, she's having this event in Miami, or just north of Miami. And all of a sudden, you know, unleash your power. And all of a sudden, Ruth and I are traveling to Miami, and, you know, and we're helping put on this weekend conference. By the way, it's kind of coming up again in April, Ruth. And so we're doing this whole thing. And then we meet this gal that's really kind of, you know, connected with Wendy, and she owns Bed and Breakfast, and we ended up staying at her Bed and Breakfast and going. So you see how it all kind of just fit together. And I just started out just serving Wendy, and to the point where Wendy and I, we've met up several times. We've had, you know, photo shoots together. She's had me speak on her stages. I've had her speak on my stages. You know, and then of course we meet Brandon, and then Brandon is all about, you know, launching, you know, a challenge. And so then several of us go through his program. Sherry's gone through it. Ruth's gone through it. I've gone through it. So we just all start connecting and serving each other. And now I have some of Wendy's group and some of Brandon's group that are like, Kathy, I want to connect with you. Because why? Their audience is also my audience. So now you have to have integrity and not step on toes. And so I don't want to do the same thing that Wendy and Brandon are doing. So my Build a Better Business is a different format than what they're doing. And so when I talk about having a 5-day challenge or mastermind, I'm not going about it. Brandon is in it to sell his platform because he has an affiliate link. And again, we've all talked about having affiliate links and how you can make money doing that. Brandon has decided on a platform. And at the end of his presentation, he will give you all this help, but he wants you to sign up for his platform because that's where he makes his money, is on the platform, which is why he gives away a lot of his expertise to get you onto his platform. That is what he's decided his product model is. And that's okay. And it's a great product. And if you want to be on that platform, then that's certainly the way that you should go. And so my take on it is, instead of doing an actual challenge, is to do more of a mastermind. And I'm more of a bootstraps, do it for free kind of gal because of my background. And the fact, I have to go back and revisit, my secret name is Teacher. My opus is to help an earlier version of myself. Those folks that don't want to spend a lot of money, that want to get something going. And I don't want to violate my actual opus. I actually had one of my coaches one time tell me that I should raise my prices. And I said, I don't want to, because I said, the people that need it the most can afford it the least. Or it's somebody that really doesn't want to put that kind of a price tag on. They're either at the early stages where finances is an issue, or they're in retirement where they're guarding their finances because, you know, again, it's an issue. I mean, we can all spend thousands of dollars, but that isn't for everybody. And that's my target market. That's the folks that I'm trying to reach. And so it's different. You know, some masterminds are $25,000 a year. Some are $10,000 a year. Mine's 25 bucks a month. And you can, you know, join as much as you want. So it's just where it is that you want to serve your audience. And so what I've discovered is a lot of folks that tap into these free challenges, these free masterminds, these big symposiums, a lot of those folks, they don't have the funds to drop $25,000 or $10,000 or even $5,000, but they can do $25 a month and it helps them take their next best step. And so the way that I get in front of those customers, that audience, is by serving some of those influencers. Now, I picked five, just like I'm sharing with you guys, to pick five. And it ended up narrowing down to two, and then it ended up narrowing down to one. And I focused on this one person for a full year. And I'm still very, very connected to this person. We talk two or three times a week. We're very good friends. And I try to help and serve even today as much as I can. But now I'm ready to pick another five, okay, just like you, and let it narrow down to another single person. So anyway, with that, I want to share, and I want you to go around and tell me off the top of your head, And again, influencers can be at all different levels. It doesn't have to be a John Maxwell. Okay. It doesn't have to be a Billy Graham. It doesn't have to be an Oprah Winfrey. It doesn't have to be at that level of an influencer. It could be your pastor at church. It could be, you know, somebody that's just running a ministry and you know that they have the audience that, that you're looking for. And so just come alongside them and serve. And it can be anywhere in between. Okay. So let's start. And again, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I'm going to start with Ruth. Ruth, have you felt yourself coming alongside any influencers? And if so, describe what that looks like in your world.
I'm still thinking this through.
Okay.
I think subconsciously, yes, I have. And yes, there was that time that I was really on Clubhouse a lot with Wendy. I haven't been lately. Mm-hmm. Kind of quit in the summer, and I thought it was just a temporary quit, and I haven't got back to it. But yes.
Well, here's what I will say. I came alongside Wendy, and my book got so busy that I had to back off because I couldn't handle the volume of business.
Right.
It got a lot of connections, and I had to back off because again, people were like, I'm sitting here with no business. Well, my problem is that when I came alongside an influencer, I had too much business and I didn't have the systems in place to handle it. And I had to back up and get some of my systems in place. Now I'm ready right. to go back at it. So anyhow, how did that work for you? Because I know that's when you really took off, was when you were connected with Wendy, then you got connected with Brandon, then you were doing the challenge course with Brandon, then you launched some challenges, and next thing you know, my guess is that you were working more than you wanted to be.
Well, in some ways, you know, I still am working on getting the income to follow through that I want, but that'll come. That'll come when I get comfortable with myself, even more than what I am right now. And there's Elise.
Yes. Hi, Elise. So Ruth and Elise and I, we were on Clubhouse this morning. So if you gals want a good taste of Clubhouse every Monday morning at 10 a.m. and it's, you know, we just chat. We don't have any agenda when we start. We just go wherever the conversation takes us. And it's a great way to get comfortable on Clubhouse. If any of you want to try that out, check it out. And so Ruth, what did you discover? And we're going to be name droppers here. And I know I came alongside Wendy and I ended up filling my whole first year of interviews because she had a lot of health and wellness folks that were tapping in. And so when I launched my Fit as a Fiddle Plus and I met Rita and Ruth, you and Elise met Rita this morning. Rita is my co-host, my co-mod on Fit as a Fiddle Plus. I met her on Wendy's Clubhouse. She became my co-host, co-mod on Fit as a Fiddle. I launched that podcast. And she shares with me every month a different program. And our whole first year, it was everyone off of Wendy's Clubhouse that was our guest that we interviewed. We created an entire podcast just from connecting and coming alongside Wendy. And then fast forward, the reason I'm a published author today is because of Wendy. Because I met the publisher, Patricia Wooster, with Wendy. And Wendy said, I'm going to do a collaborative book. Anybody that wants in, here's how to get in. And I am a published author, a number one seller in 13 categories because of Wendy, because I came alongside an influencer like Wendy. Does that make sense to everybody how that works? Okay. So Ruth, if you, do you have some folks that you follow, on a regular basis, but they don't know that you're following them?
Well, I think, you know, this is really good. And I think it's really good stuff, but I think I need to back off of it and take a step back and say, who am I following right now? And is it good? Because from what I have seen in my life is I follow for a season. Mm-hmm. And then that season goes and somebody else I'm following. Now, I don't know if that's healthy or not. I think it is.
I think it is too.
Mm-hmm. Because I think in some ways we can get too attached to some of our mentors or influencers. And so that I'm pointing fingers back at me, and I feel like they are the end all. Mm-hmm. And God's ready to take me another place. Oh, I just thought of another one I need to write down. I'm writing these down as they're coming to my mind.
Yep. I get it. Yeah. Now I've got a perfect example of that, Ruth. And here's my example. Many of us started following Carrie Oberbrunner, and mm-hmm. I am where I am today because I met Carrie, and he helped teach me how to think.
Yeah.
Because in the business world, I was under the impression that it was either all business or it was all personal. And he showed me by example, and by me coming alongside and helping serve him, he showed me that it doesn't have to be all business. It doesn't have to be all personal, that you can bring your authentic self into what you're doing, and you can make, and the quote that he uses by LP Jacks all the time, that, you know, folks look at me and they don't know whether I'm working or playing, because it seems like I'm doing both all the time. And it does. And so that was a big aha moment for me, that I could be authentically me and still monetize what I'm doing, but still be that teacher that, you know, my secret name. And so here we are. If I would have put all my eggs in his basket, all of a sudden at the last conference, he announces, "This is our last conference. I'm not going to do this anymore." And there were so many folks that I could hear this rumble going throughout the room. And I have some of his audience has become my audience. Mm-hmm. And some of them, they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. They're like, "Well, I guess I'll just fold. There's no way I can go forward." And I'm thinking to myself, why? But they've hung so much of their hope and their plan on just doing whatever Carrie said to do, that when he's not there to give them the step-by-step process, they're kind of folding. They're like, "Well, I can't do it. I don't know what to do now." And so I'm thinking, wow. And then I see folks like Sherry, who is just pushing forward, and she has taken so many different classes and courses, and she's tapped into several different gurus. She's not tapped into just one. Now, there's a danger there. If you sign up for every course that comes down the pike, if you sign up for 20 courses, you've got 20 directions that 20 different people are advising you to take. And you've got to be careful with that. But if you put all your eggs in one basket and then that person decides to get out of the business or switch or stop or whatever, then all of a sudden you're hanging out there by yourself. So again, I think there's a happy medium in there, you know, to where you can come. That's why I like you to have at least five influencers that you're going to kind of come alongside and then kind of wean it down to one or two. But the other ones don't fall off the list. You just put them on the back burner for now, because it could be, see, Carrie was on my list, but then when he decided not to have as many courses, not to do the conference anymore, not to do all those things, then he's still there, but he's just kind of moved a little bit back on the back list. And so then Wendy kind of came to the surface. Well, now that I started getting too busy and I couldn't, you know, and she had a lot of folks all in the health and wellness, community, you know, I needed authors. And so then I circled back again to Carrie's group, because his heart blood early on was authors. So I circled back around to Carrie's group and I filled up my author podcast with a ton of folks. And see, they had seen me at those conferences. And again, it's like I said before, they saw me serving. They saw me. They got to know me. They liked me, they trusted me, because they saw me in action. And so what happened was, when I called them up and said, "I have a podcast and I really need some authors to interview," they all said, "Sure, just give me the date. I'll be there for you. You know, I'll be there for you." Yes, Ruth.
I'm off mute. As you're talking, I'm going to take this a little bit different direction, which I think you'll be okay with. It doesn't have to be an individual. It can be an organization.
That's true.
And one of them that just popped in my head is the local human resource chapter. And I'm actually doing exactly what you're saying. I'm getting in there, I'm knowing the people, I'm offering what I can do to help, you know, behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so that is one of my five right now. So I actually have five written down. I think I'll refine it when I get back. But yes, that in, yeah, I think this needs to be refined, but I think it's going to funnel down. And that's what we want, funnel down to one.
And as you connect with these influencers, there also has to be somewhat of a personality that works for you. And so I tried to come alongside an influencer, and I won't name who it is because some of us know him. And he's a local guy, but every time I would connect, he was a little more guarded. Like he thought I was going to try to take his clients away from him. And so I realized that probably was not going to be a relationship that I could nurture, because he obviously didn't know me well enough to know that I firmly believe that the tide rises all ships. And so there's enough room and there's certainly enough money. If anybody is struggling with money, let me tell you, there is tons of money in this world. Don't ever think that there's no money. There is tons of money in this world. And all you have to do is to be able to receive it and give it. Whatever you give, you will get. So you have to let money flow. You can't, you know, hold on to it. You have to let it flow in order for it to grow. So, and that's the same with your business. It has to breathe. It has to breathe. You have to be able to come alongside and uplift someone else. It's not all about getting the client and getting the deal. It's not about that. It's about how can you help someone else get the client and get the deal. And all of a sudden the clients and deals will fall into your lap. So yes, Ruth.
I was on mute that time. Let's talk just a little bit, or I'm going to ask you a question. It's what it boils down to. Let's better define friendship and influencer. You know what I'm asking?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And there is a little bit of a fine line there, because these influencers will become your friends, and some of your friends might become the influencers in your life. And so you have to stop and think about that. You might have a girlfriend that has been your friend for years, and she might get offered a position in some organization, and all of a sudden you realize that she could be one of the influencers that you could help support. And it's just like in the bed and breakfast when I have a guest. And this is you have to fine tune this, and everybody, you have to find your own footing there. But if I have a guest that comes into my home, if I'm all formal and stuffy, I find that the guest experience and my experience isn't quite as good. But if I treat them like a long lost friend, even though they're a guest, I have to always respect the fact that they're a guest. So I'm always there to serve them. It's never like, oh, she's a friend, she won't care if there's no coffee in her room this time. I have to always know that I have to serve them to the top of my ability, but I have to treat them as if we're, you know, age old friends, if that makes sense. And I think with the influencers, you can treat them as if they're a really close friend of yours, but never forget that they're an influencer. You have to always have that in your mind, that you are there to serve them as an influencer. You're not there to take advantage of them because they're your friend, or let them take advantage of you because they're your friend. You have to remember what the relationship is. And there's a fine line there. So Ruth, I don't know if that helps or what you were thinking.
I think so. Like I'm thinking of one gal right now, I consider her more a friend, and I need to step back and say, where does she have influence? And whether it would affect, I mean, I know she did and before she retired, but does she still?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So again, and you're going to have some of those girlfriends. I have a girlfriend right now. She could be an influencer. but she chooses not to function as an influencer in my life. She chooses to drop all her baggage in my lap every time we get together for coffee. And so I've just made the decision that I'm just going to be her friend. Because she has set that stage with me, even though she could be quite an influencer and we could do business together and we could refer business back and forth, but she chooses to use me, and she thinks that I'm her best friend, which I get that. And she chooses to just bring all her baggage over and leave it on my doorstep about three times a week. And maybe that is my place with her at this time in her life. Because it's not been, it's been a couple of years ago, she lost her husband and she really struggled emotionally through that grieving period. And so I get that. And it could be that she'll move more into an influencer relationship with me later on, where I could come along and serve her as an influencer. But it seems like, because early on, just in the business world, she was here and I was here in where we were headed. And then when her husband passed and she kind of rolled up the carpet for a couple of years, now we've kind of transitioned like this. And so now it could be that I would be her influencer instead of her being my influencer. And again, this is all kind of tough stuff to navigate when you're out there. But again, I didn't know. And I'll use Wendy as an example. I didn't know Wendy when I first came on the scene in Clubhouse, and I just made a commitment. And for me, the commitment is usually a year. And so I just made a commitment that I was just going to be there to serve her for a full year. And at the end of a year, I launched a podcast. I was a best-selling author in one of her books, and I'm really good friends with Wendy, where if I was in a pickle in Florida, I could call on Wendy and she would come to my rescue. And she could call on me and I would come to her rescue. So we've developed that friendship through the fact that I chose her as an influencer, if that makes any sense. And that all of that happened in a year because I'd made the decision that I was going to come alongside her for a year. Yes, Ruth.
I'm kind of hogging this conversation, so if anybody else wants to jump in, go ahead. Let's talk about some ideas where you can serve an influencer from remotely. Now, it's easier if you're in the same city and can do some stuff like going to the book launch and things like that. So let's talk about some ideas that you can do remotely.
Well, all of us, and again, I'm a passive income coach. And so I'm all about being able to work from anywhere in the world. That's kind of my tagline. I want to create businesses where I can work from anywhere in the world, whether it's writing or real estate, investing or whatever it is. And so for me, because I do, and we were talking about this on the Clubhouse call this morning, when I realize what size of an audience I really have, it kind of boggles my mind. I'm pleasantly shocked at the size of my audience these days. When I look at the size of my groups, and by the way, Debbie, you know how we picked up that group for you on Meetup? I just picked up a group of over 700 members just late last night. I was up till 2 a.m. this morning because the group went bust where there was no organizer. And I was a member and I got the note that said, if the member doesn't pick this up within 24 hours, the group is going to disappear. And they were like, please save the group. And they were, and this email had gone out to all the members. And I waited until the last minute to see if anybody else was going to pick it up. And they didn't. So at the last hour, I grabbed it. So I now have 700 more members. And so then, of course, I wanted to update the group to make it, look like it was active, because I didn't want all the members then to start leaving thinking, well, that went to puts. So I immediately created an event and got it out there, and I'm the new organizer and blah, blah, blah. And so finally I got to bed about, 2 o'clock this morning. And when we finally woke up this morning, Mark is like, what time did you come to bed? I said, it was really late or really early, however you want to look at it. I said, because I had something I had to do. So again, we were talking this morning that, when you love the universe loves you back. So all of a sudden this stuff is like falling in my lap. But anyway, Yes, Debbie, go ahead.
What's the group?
The group was the newbie real estate investors, and there was two guys that had the group together. One was the originator, the organizer, and one was the co-organizer. And they were doing a meetup just like I do in Happy House Hunters. So the audience was definitely my audience, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
And so what happened was these two guys are both speakers for me in the Happy House Hunters. And I've been speakers for them in their newbie group. So we have helped each other. And we're actually meeting in the one guy's new combined spaces. And so he's segueing a little bit into where he has this commercial, big commercial property. And it's called Combined Spaces here in Columbus. And he didn't have any business yet. It was brand new. He was trying to launch it. And so to answer Ruth's question, I offered to come along and help him promote that. See, and I didn't have to physically be on site to do that. I could do that virtually. And so I offered to promote his space. And then the one thing that we do is we do meet up in person in Columbus once a month. And so I said, would you be open to us actually meeting in your space so all my people get to see it? And he's like, wow. Well, yeah, he said, I'll let you. And it's $100 to use the space. But he said, I'll do it for free if I can have the first 10 minutes to tell everybody about the combined spaces. So, and I told him, I said, now, if at any time I don't have enough people actually renting space from you, I said, I will pay the $100 because I'm a firm believer to pay to play. And I said, if we're going to use your space and wipe our dirty feet on your new carpet, I said, then I will pay the $100 when we use your space. And he said, well, for now, let's let it go and see if any of your people actually start using the space. And he said, and if so, he said, then you can use it for free in exchange for me advertising to your group. But then I put it out on all my social media that, you know, there's a new combined spaces in town and here's a picture of it. And here's what's going on there to help promote him. And so this was their group, this newbie. And he said, you know, I'm so busy with my combined spaces. My partner is busy rehabbing houses and getting into midterm and short-term rentals. So he said, I don't think we're going to do the newbie investors group anymore. And he said, and our audience is your audience. And he said, and you're a member. And he said, so I'm going to let it go. And I'm like, okay. I said, well, I'm going to pick it up. So, because it was right up my alley. And so I got 700. Now, some of the members are the same. Some of them have already joined the Happy House Hunters that were in the newbie real estate investors. Some of the members are overlapping. But out of 700, I had over 700. Now he's got over 700. I now have the two groups together. I have over 1,400 people in the real estate investment community and all in Central Ohio. So, you know, yes, I see Elise. Yes. So anyhow, I was like last night at 2 a.m., I was like, yes. Yes, yes, yes. So anyway, so it was just one of those things that I had to navigate because they didn't know when Meetup was going to throw it out there and they had already stepped down. And then it occurred to them that I might be interested and they said, we already left it. So we can't go back in and make you the new. They said, you're just going to have to watch for it for Meetup to give it away and grab it. And I said, okay. And
that's virtual. Is that virtual?
Yes.
Wow.
So anyhow, at this point, I can help support those influencers by helping advertise them, by putting them out on my social media. You know, that's how I can support some of those influencers. I don't have to physically show up at their events. Now I could, and I like to, and because Mark and I want to travel more, I'm making it a point to show up at some of them. Like I showed up and Ruth did too. It started out, Ruth was going to be a speaker for Wendy because she had gone through Brandon's program and everybody that went through the program was going to get a chance to speak. And then when this collaborative book project came up, Wendy goes, why don't I have all my authors speak as well? And next thing you know, she turned it into Unleash Your Legacy Weekend. And so all of Brandon's folks got to speak, which included Ruth, and all of the book authors got to speak, which included me. And then now Sherry is in the second book launch. And so, you know, Sherry is now invited to speak in this round because it's a whole new book launch. So you see where just coming along, Wendy ended up not only virtually on Clubhouse or on her Instagram, helping promote her, but also physically showing up where she is, if that makes any sense. And like I said, my whole first year of Fit as a Fiddle Plus, all of my speakers came out of Wendy's Clubhouse. And most of my authors on my Ohio Writers Guild came out of Carrie's group. And now all of my speakers in person that is showing up at Combined Spaces for the real estate is coming out of my Happy House Hunters group and out of this newbie real estate investors group. So you see how it's all coming together. Does it make sense? But you have to make an effort on your part to come alongside these influencers so they get to know, like, and trust you. All right, Debbie, what have you got? What names are you thinking? Because I know as I've been talking, the wheels have been turning. So, So what are you thinking for influencers?
Well, I do have four.
Okay.
And they go from well, you know Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
And John Maxwell.
Right.
And I realized as you were talking, I had become, I think, stuck on thinking I had to, or my best influencer was Max Steingart. And I slowly realized that, okay, a year, I've reached my season. But unfortunately it was a few seasons, but so now I have to move on. And then that's where John Maxwell comes in, because he's been dealing or doing a lot of messages, you know, through email on leadership and that. And it would be nice to have the money to be part of his organization, but all in good time, all in good time. The person that has really influenced me for 4 years now is my Bible study teacher, who has brought me along from day one. And I actually think of her as my second mom. And we have that kind of a relationship. And I have a business partner who is very strong in her faith and her spiritual journey, that she's brought me along and how to use that in our business. And that has helped. I've been writing a lot of notes. Those are the only four I have right now.
I don't want to put myself in as an influencer for you, but I do feel that I've had some influence on you and you're doing. And so, because you have been so faithful, you always show up at all the calls. You always are hanging in there. You've been with me the longest. We did the whole day job to dream job together at my kitchen table back in the day. I remember all that. And so when you published your first magazine article, by the way, Debbie is now a published author. When she published her first magazine article, I immediately shared that across my social media, because again, that's how it works. See, because you have been such a support for me, it doesn't go unnoticed. And so it allows me an opportunity to support you. And that's what coming alongside and helping serve an influencer is all about.
Yes.
Because when you are there and you show up and you just show up and you're very dedicated to them, they get it. They recognize it. And then when you do something, they're going to make sure they promote you.
Well, and you know, when I
alongside is about.
And I totally agree. You have been huge influencer for me. Huge. And when I looked through the people who liked it or shared it, that message, I realized, wow, I do have people that are interested.
Uh-huh.
And so I was thinking, you know, I would acknowledge to them that they did that. And I mean, really, the people there in Igniting Souls have all been, you know, how are you doing on your book and things like yeah. that. Well, yesterday when I went to church, I shared it with two of my pastors. They're my favorite. And they were like totally blown away with this. And I felt very proud that their reaction was. And they want me to share it. They want me to send it to them in an email so they can read it better. Because you can't do that when you're meeting and greeting everybody. But it's interesting, since I published this, and this morning I just had to reread it, and I realized that I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to talk to Lori and see what I want somebody to give me feedback on how this was, the what you felt, and if I have things to improve or not improve, just keep going, because I do know that once you do the first one and you keep going, it gets better.
And funny you should say that, because when we meet on the third Monday for our Writer's Mastermind, we're going to talk about creating critique groups. That's what we're going to talk about this month. That's the topic awesome. For this month, is how to create critique groups that actually critique your writing in a healthy, positive way.
Right.
So that they don't go, that's, you know, when you get reviews on Amazon, I've seen people go, this book stinks, don't bother buying it. No, well, what does that do to the author? You know?
Yeah.
But in a critique group, you set the rules. You're like, you know, when did you lose interest in reading my manuscript? And what could I have changed that would have held your interest? And did I keep, you know, first person throughout the whole book, or did I switch to make it more confusing? Do I need to, you know, clean, what do I need to clean up to make it more understandable? Anyway, a critique group is going to critique you in a positive manner.
Right.
And you set this, and I'm going to teach this month how to set the stage with that, how to put together your critique group, and how to give them the rules of the critique so that it is a positive critique. And so anyway, that's what we're going to talk about. So yes. So your article would be a perfect one to start with. But it was good. I read it. And so be proud. And so not only did I promote, and this answers a little bit of Ruth's question, not only did I promote Debbie, but Lori actually stayed here as an author. She stayed here in my bed and breakfast, and we drove and took her back and forth to the conference for a couple of years, to Carrie's conference. And so if you'll notice, Debbie, when I posted across my social media, I tagged you and Lori. And then yes. I put the link to her magazine. So I'm promoting her magazine and Lori, and I'm promoting Debbie and her article all in the same social media. And it was a way that I could help promote both of them, because both of them, see, have promoted me.
Well, and it puts the magazine really further out on the social medias than she has been able to. I mean, you added to it.
And I shared it across all my groups. So I shared it even in my writer's group. So now I have actual published authors that are now clicking through on her magazine.
Cool. Yeah. Well, so I want to mention one thing. And here's the interesting thing. I saw the post on, I can't remember whether it was LinkedIn or Facebook, but it was the book by Kathy Studer.
Yes.
She's part of IAS. Yeah. Mm-hmm. broken to beautiful whole. This is, I hope you can see the cover.
Yep.
There it is.
Yep.
Okay. I bought the book, but I hadn't read it yet. And the minute I saw the opinion uh-huh. about the book and that, I went right over to my shelf, plucked it off, and I've already started reading it. And
it's a wow.
Did you read it?
Yes.
It was such a wow that it just took my breath away. So if anybody's interested in the book, you know, pull it up, and it's just amazing. So that's it.
So this goes back to, was it Stephen Covey that said this? Who said this? Maybe not Stephen Covey. I forget who said this. He said, if you give folks what they want, you will get what you want.
Exactly.
And so serving is selling, because when you're serving, people notice. Mm-hmm. When you're serving, people notice. And they want to give back. And again, like gravity, it doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not, gravity is one of the laws of the universe. If you drop the ball, it's going to drop to the ground. And so the law of reciprocity is just like that. It doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. The law of reciprocity is just as real as the law of gravity. Whatever you give, you're going to get. So if you need money, you have to give money. If you need a car, you have to give a car. If you need time, you have to give time. If you need a friend, you heard this. If you need a friend, you have to be a friend. But you have to give it first, and then you'll get. And so we sometimes are always thinking that we need to get. I need to get more money. I need to get more clients. I need to get more time. I need to get whatever. And we forget that the first step is to give it in order to get. All right, Estella, tell us what you got. What are you thinking? How is this conversation?
You know, when I think about influencers, my influencers are primarily people that are in my my Legal Shield
group. Upline, downline. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I don't know necessarily that I would attach myself to them. You know, like if they're doing a meeting or something like that, I certainly would be there to serve them and help out. But I'm thinking of, Debbie asked a very good question, and she said, can it be associations or organizations as opposed to individuals? And when that was like a great aha for me, because I mean, I can go in and help with the various HR groups.
Mm-hmm.
And probably, I'm sure there's some other groups as well, like the senior citizens and whatnot, you know?
Because that's your audience. Their audience is your audience. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I'm like, okay, Legal Shield, what can I offer? You know, and it could also be some small business groups as well, because I am a small business. But I like that idea about the groups. I probably would function better in that. And I do appreciate your, because Debbie, I tried to read your article online. I couldn't, but I did acknowledge it. But, you know, I mean, I learn each time I get on here, and I'm not real robust on Facebook yet, but I am taking a class on it. So that should improve greatly, because I don't know all the innuendos and the ins and outs and all of that about, you know, Facebook. Matter of fact, I keep saying I'm going to do some YouTube so I can get a better understanding of some of the things going on, because they wanted us to have knowledge about Facebook before we just, you know, join. But you know, I will get better. And I wholeheartedly believe in the law of reciprocity and the law of what you say. Because what you say is what you get, and what you give is what you get.
Yep, absolutely.
We
had that conversation on Clubhouse this morning, is that mm-hmm. we do create our own realities by the stories that we tell ourselves.
Well, yes. We tell ourselves, we say, absolutely, what we say. Mm-hmm. So the beautiful part about that is in the Word of God, it says, because sometimes people don't, some people don't want to see you, be successful. And so they'll say things, but the Word of God says, no unfounded curse shall land. Right, Debbie?
Yes.
So I'm like, yes, this was helpful for me. So I need to go out. And I think we did this exercise last year, where my notes are. Debbie only knows. But I do remember writing down some groups. I do remember doing that, but I wasn't quite, there in terms of the Facebook, but I am getting ready to catch up with that, like quick, fast, and in a hurry.
Don't overwhelm yourself. Just, again, list five, but then you're going to very quickly narrow it down to just a couple, and then you're going to start serving that couple. And then it'll probably end up being one that you just really connect with, or you feel like they're mm-hmm. receiving you pretty well. And then mm-hmm. that's, don't try to post, pound that square peg into the round hole. Just mm-hmm. start serving, and you'll know which one feels right to you. And then just make a commitment that you're going to do it for 6 months or 12 months, whatever your mm-hmm. commitment is, and then reevaluate at the end of that.
Okay.
And again, this thing with Wendy, I made the decision to come alongside Wendy for 1 year. Oh my goodness. I ended up a published number one author. I ended up with a couple of my podcasts being filled up, and I ended up with several trips to Miami and good friends with Wendy. And it's all because I simply made that commitment.
And in terms of influencers, my God, what Debbie said about you, I'm like, girl, I get it. She might have been the first, but I was the second.
Yes. I remember, Stella, you and I actually met at one of those Breakfast First meetings.
Yes.
Yes.
And it was an answer to prayer, because I had said, Lord, I need to be in a mastermind. And lo and behold, I go to the networking group, and I was on my way out the door and stopped and said hello. And the Lord said, he's been doing some amazing things here related. I'm like, wow. But definitely
that.
You are one of my influencers. And I, look for the opportunity when I can give back to you. I mean, I need to give back I give to others as well, but specifically to you. So I don't know when it's going to happen, but it will.
Good job. I love it. I love all of that. Yes, Debbie.
Just one quick question. In the article on Facebook, wasn't really a link.
It was a link to the magazine, and you had to then register for the magazine and then scroll down to the article.
Thank you. Okay. That's what I wanted Estelle to know. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. I tried to open up the link and just click onto your article, but it didn't do that. And it even when you sent it to me in an email and said, I got published, here's the link. It was the link to the magazine, and I had to scroll down to come.
I think that was the thing with me. And I'm like, where are they taking me? They don't even have her article here. So I just moved on.
Yeah. Her article is in the magazine, but you have to register for the magazine, and then it's edition 15, I think.
Okay. I just I'm trying to get rid of stuff, not add more stuff. So when they did that. But
for Debbie,
have a problem doing that.
I get it. All right, Elise, it looks like Ruth had to jump off. Elise, how about you? What are you getting from this conversation today?
It's always a mix of everything. Well, hello, everyone. Sorry, I was late. It's been wonderful, just listening in. What I'm getting so far is really, like we were having great conversation today in the Clubhouse call, but just where we are and how serving is selling as usual, and just making sure that if you align yourself in the right places, then the rest of it will follow. With action comes that clarity, moving forward, and at least moving, you're going in the right direction. And if you're not, having those goals and seeing where you want to go, you can just readjust. So it's always just confirmation for me, just like knowing that it doesn't all have to be right now, but just a little bit of progress moving forward. An hour of working on your business or 10 minutes of working on your business is better than an hour of thinking about working on it. So always having that going back and forth.
Well, when I came alongside Wendy, and again, things started filling up and we started doing the Fit as a Fiddle podcast. And next thing you know, I had people that were contacting me and they wanted to know this and that. And all of a sudden I was working way too many hours. I was working more than I wanted to be working. And so I had to back off a little bit because it actually worked too well, if that makes sense. Because what I realized is I had to back up and get more systems in place. I had some systems in place, but I had to back up and get more systems in place before I could get more business. We all think, oh, I wish I had 100 new customers. You couldn't handle 100 new customers because you don't have your systems yet. And so I realized that serving worked so well in getting new business that I had to back off a little bit and focus on my systems before I could go back to it.
What systems did you put in place?
Well, one of the problems for me was everybody wanted a piece of me. When they found out, you know, that I'm all about passive income, and of course, you know, who isn't interested in passive income? And so they all wanted a piece of me. So I had to come up with a plan on how I could get them into my calendar without me just, you know, I mean, Mark and I would be at dinner and I'd get a phone call. We'd be out on a hike and I'd get a phone call. And I finally had to figure out how can I direct these phone calls to when I wanted to take them and not just have them blowing up my day all day long. So that's when I implemented my Calendly. Mm-hmm. And again, when you start, you'll get clarity. Once I implemented my Calendly, not only did I create this strategy call for free, which is where everybody can, and then I even went back in and I even renamed it to Connect or strategy call. Because some people, they didn't want to talk strategy. They just wanted to connect with me. And so I then made it even more general that it was a Connect/strategy call. And, you know, just connect with me, click here. And my Calendly gives the dates and times, see, that they can connect. And now I know to save that banner of time each day just to do those strategy calls. So I don't have those calls coming at me all day long. Because I don't know about you, but we have so much social media coming at us and so much coming at us in emails. And, you know, like Estella said, I didn't want one more email coming in my inbox all the time. And so with this coming at me, every time somebody would call me, I felt like I had to do it right then, because if I wrote it on a post-it note and put it off to the side, I'd forget about them. And then they would be upset that you never called me back. And so I needed a way to manage that. And I didn't have my systems in place. And now I do. I've designated a time each day just to do those calls. And so now folks just click through on the strategy call. And so now I know what's coming each day at that time. It's not in the middle of when I'm checking out guests. It's not when I'm hiking with Mark. It's not on a Friday night when I'm out at dinner and somebody calls all in a panic about something. You see where I'm going with that? And so once I got that in place, that made life a lot easier for me. And then I thought, well, I need to do the same thing with my coaching calls. So then on my free Calendly, I even created another whole section of just my coaching, my one-on-one coaching calls. Because again, I didn't want to do a one-on-one coaching call in the middle of my hike or in the middle of Friday night dinner. I wanted to do those when Mark was busy with airplanes and I, you know, was in front of my computer and I could look up stuff and really help and give my client my undivided attention. So I created that in Calendly. And then once I had clarity with that, I went back to my website and I included that button on my website. Here's how you click through to do a Connect or strategy free call with me. And here's how you click through to do one-on-one coaching with me. And so that's when that got added, was when I got a little overwhelmed with all that. Does that make sense?
That is good. I heard you say systems and I'm like, okay, what is she using? Because we've had the conversation before, the scatteredness, you know, but I'm overcoming that too.
Well, and I have different systems for different things. When I first started the bed and breakfast, I ended up, you know, I decided I wanted to advertise on a couple different online travel agencies like booking.com and Expedia and Airbnb. And next thing you know, I got a couple of double bookings. And, you know, two people booked at the same room for the same night. And then I had to go in and fix it, which took a lot more time to fix it than it did to just avoid that from happening. So I knew that I needed what was called a channel manager. So for short-term rentals, my system is my CloudBeds channel manager. Well, then I have, you know, investments in real estate, and Elise will get this. I started, you know, we got up to 30 doors, and all of a sudden, you know, my tenants were just all nilly-willy all over the map, calling me for this and calling me for that. Her trash cans in my parking space, and what are you going to do about it? And finally I said, okay, I, you know, I don't want to get calls at 1 o'clock in the morning because somebody's trash can is out of place, you know? And so I then chose Inago, which is simply a software program, to be my system. And so now everybody has to, Inago only does two things for the tenant. It collects their rent, and it can notify me of a maintenance issue. And really, that's my only job. My job is to give them a nice place to live and keep the maintenance issues caught up and to collect their rent so that I have the money to do that. That's my only job. My job isn't to police their trash can. And so everything has to come through Inago, and all of a sudden that just totally eliminated all those phone calls. And so now I have a maintenance team, and I just pick up the Inago email and forward it to my maintenance team. And then I just send a note back to my tenant saying, your maintenance request has been forwarded to our maintenance team. I'm done. And so what it did see is it allowed me to free up my time and not have all of that coming at me all different hours of the day and night. And so my academy, you know, people want to join, they want to drop out, they want to add, they want to do. Teachable is my platform. Teachable is my system that I run my international academy on, teachable.com. So see, everything has a system. So you have to decide what those systems are. Zoom is my system for all of my free meetups. I switch to webinar on Zoom for the free stuff because it makes people register. And all of a sudden, I have a built-in email list that I didn't have before. Just by switching.
Again.
On Zoom, if you do a meeting, anybody that has a code can tap into your meeting. But if you switch over to webinar, and there's a fee for that, if you switch over to webinar, then they have to register to get into the meeting. They have to register with their email address, and it sends you that whole list of emails. And so all my free calls, like my Friday morning free stuff, if you look at my website, you know, I've got the free meetups and I've got the course and then I've got the masterminds. All of my free meetups, I switched over to webinar on Zoom. Instead of the meeting side of Zoom, I went to the webinar side of Zoom. And so now anybody that taps in free webinars on Friday mornings, they have to register with an email address. So now I've got a bigger mailing list. So my mailing list is now upwards of 1,000 that get notifications of everything I'm doing every month. I've built that up just from folks registering through the Zoom webinar. I probably add 25 or 30 emails to my list every month. So those are systems, see, that work for me.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. I have to put some systems in place. I think my number one is the HubSpot. I need to get that so I can stay in communication with my customers.
Because see, what happens is you don't know where you're lacking until you start. And it's like Elise said, you can think about it all day long, but until you start down that path, you don't realize where the holes are. You don't realize where the problems are until you start. That's what gives you clarity. And so all of a sudden, you know, I thought, well, how am I going to build my email list? And I don't even know who these people are that's tapping into my free stuff. So then I, of course, during the pandemic, we got a couple of people that decided it would be fun to hack some of these Zoom calls. And then I thought, okay, I've got to solve that. See, so I didn't know I had to solve it until it was a problem, see? And so don't feel like, oh, I don't have my stuff in place and I need to get it all in place before I can really start marketing. Start marketing now, because you'll discover very quickly where the sore spots are that you need to to firm up. You'll realize rather quickly. So I realized doing one of my Happy House Hunter meetups on Zoom that, you know, I need a way to know who these people are that's coming into this meeting ahead of time. So again, I just decided to research it, and everything pointed to switching over to the website, the webinar side of Zoom, because then you can make them register and then you can even hold them in the audience. See, they can't come up on stage like this and show their video or talk unless you let them. And so I switched all my free meetups over to, and when I do an interview, and Debbie, you haven't done this yet and it hasn't been an issue for you, but when I do an interview, for example, on my ins and outs of a bed and breakfast, I might have 250 people on the call. And I can't monitor 250 people and interview my guest. So I only bring myself, my guest, and my co-host up like you see us. I leave everyone else over in the chat. And they can only, and then I even marked it that they can't even chat with each other and they can't chat to everyone. So they can't type something in there inappropriate. They can only chat to the panelist. And then I can repeat what they, I can say, Susie wants to know, you know, how long you've been in business doing this, you know, see, I can then just ask the question on Susie's behalf, and Susie can't type something obnoxious in there that everybody sees. I'm the only, and so, and I've had some people type some really obnoxious stuff just to try to get a rise out of everybody, but I'm the only one that could see it. So I just ignore it. See, so they didn't get their, so they disappear. They don't, they realize they can't hack me. So they disappear. But I didn't know that until I got hacked a few times. And so that's my point, is that you have to start so that you know where the holes are that you need to close up.
I love what you said. I'm going to use this. I'm going to figure a way to use this in my legal shield. You don't know you have a problem until you have to solve it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
This is true. And so don't sit back and think I have to have all my systems in place before I can start. Go ahead and start and figure it out as you go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you don't figure it out immediately, it's not the end of the world. You know, I could, you know, like the first time I got hacked, I thought, oh, I'm going to lose all my audience. And then I had to stop and think, okay, Kathy, how are you going to handle this? And so I had to laugh at myself. You know, and I just had to be authentic and laugh at myself and say, well, that didn't go well. And you know, and then I just, as soon as the call was over, I had to figure it out. I had to start doing my research and figure out how am I going to keep this from happening in the future. And then that's when, because you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what to put in place until you have a problem. You don't know what to put in place. All right.
I totally agree.
Okay. Ahas. What's your aha? Debbie, how about you? What's your biggest aha today? Oh, you're on mute.
I have some work to do. I've been jotting down notes of things that I have neglected to do. And so I have to work on that this week, because if I want this to occur, then I'm the one that has to step out and start.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What is the Mary Kay motto? If it's going to be, it's up to me.
That's right. Very true.
Yeah. Thank Estella, you. What's your big aha today?
For me, it was the influencers don't have to be people. They can be organizations and associations.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Annalise, how about you? What's your big aha today?
Just that you won't know if they're the problem until you've already started, and with action brings a lot of clarity, and just knowing that you can't. One of the things that I love to think of is you can't complain that you have a lot on your plate when the goal was to eat. So, you know, if you...
I know.
I love it.
I got to use that in a sentence.
I like that.
You know, so the same way, you know, you can't complain about that, and you can't ask for a full plate unless you have the fork and the knife to be able to eat your food, to understand where to put it, to understand the nutritional value of each one of the pieces on your plate. There's so many things about it, but, you know, don't ask for all of that until you have what's going, and you're starting with a little snack, and, you know, all of those things. So all of it.
I'm trying right. to recall what she said about don't complain.
You can't complain that there's a lot on your plate if your original goal was to eat.
Okay. I love that.
So I'm going to leave you with one final thought. Many of us have something negative that runs around in our head that just kind of jumps in there before we realize it. And so whenever you have anything negative that pops into your head, I want you to finish the sentence, until now. Oh, there's no way I can do that, until now. Oh, there's no way I could ever have that, until now. Well, there's no way I could ever write a book, until now. Mm-hmm. There's no way that I could ever get this business off the ground, until now.
I like that.
And that's so just excellent. because that's going to pop into your head before you can stop it. So then just actively add the words, until now, mm-hmm. at the end of that negative thought. You know, I'm never going to be good at this, until now.
Yeah.
And so that way you can turn that negative around, because you can't sometimes stop it in time, because we're just kind of built that way. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's good. And the other piece, can I add one to that?
Yeah.
And that is, I don't have to, I get to.
Yes.
That's now, the one.
Now, I did that one. Honestly, I used that one. When I was in the salon industry, every Friday, I would have to sit down and play solitaire with all of these credit card tickets, because we had one credit card machine, one bank account, and all the girls were self-employed. So anytime somebody paid with a credit card, it would go into my account. Well, I'm talking 12 girls, all their money's coming into my one account. And it was just a fiduciary account. I got that. But I had to then write checks and pay them out every Friday. And I used to dread that. Because then eventually the credit card companies said eventually each girl could have her own credit card machine and each girl could have her own account. But early on, the credit card machine said, no, we just want the owner of the salon. We don't want to deal with all those independent booth renters. So every Friday I had to sit down and put all of Susie's credit card tickets in a pile and put all of Cindy's in a pile. Then I had to add it up. And then I had to write a check out of that account for Susie and write a check, because this was their paycheck. Even though they were self-employed, I had their money. So I did this every Friday, and I used to say, oh, I have to do credit cards yet tonight before we can go to dinner. I have to do credit cards. Oh, I hate life. I have to. And finally, I did that very same thing. I thought, you know what, Kathy, you have created a business. You have 12 staff that are supplying their family income out of a business that you created from scratch. And you are complaining that there's too much money that you have to divvy out. What is wrong?
It's all about perspective, isn't it?
And so finally I did that. I said, I get to do this. And so finally every Friday I sat down and I would start to feel that dread, like, oh, I have to do, nope, I get to do credit cards. How many businesses don't get to do that? I get to do that, mm-hmm. and help these 12 women mm-hmm. feed their families. I get to do that. And it totally changed how I felt.
Your perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's about the dishes in the sink. I'm like, never complain about having dishes in the sink, because you ate. You got to eat. You know? How many people pray for dishes to be in the sink? So I don't complain.
So, yep, I love that one. I love that one. So,
but I can't also do the other one until now.
Mm-hmm. I can't do it until now, and now I get to do it.
Yeah.
All right, ladies, it's been a great conversation. Write down your influencers and put your plan into action.
Yep. Thanks, Kathy.
Okay. All right.
Thank you very much, Kathy. Nice seeing you, ladies.
Yep. Yes, please, as always.
You all have a blessed and productive and profitable week.
Yes. There it is. Make hey. Those coins at any cost. All right.
Go to KathyBinner.com and check out the tribe trips.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. See ya.
Okay. Bye. All right. Bye-bye.